Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son born of a woman. And an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." This is our text. On Tuesday night and on Wednesday morning, we heard again the story that we know so well, the story of Christmas, the story of the birth of the Son of God for us. St. Luke told us again about the journey to Bethlehem, the manger, the angels, and the shepherds. And St. John told us those amazing words: "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Today, St. Matthew tells us exactly what kind of world Jesus was born into. And it's a bit of a different picture. The world that Jesus was born into is a world of jealousy, a world of hate, a world of sorrow, a world of deception, a world of anger, a world of inconvenience, a world of trouble, a world of fear. In other words, Jesus was born into your world. Because aren't all these things that afflict you as well? And these things are the fruits of sin, the sin that continues to make the world quite a different place than what God created it to be. These are the fruits that hang on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the fruits that still tempt us today, fruits that look so good and so tasty, and just what we need. But when we sink our teeth into them, they produce nothing but evil, nothing but bitterness and strife and sadness. You know this, and I know this, and just think about your own life. The last time you exploded in anger, did that solve your problem? Really? The last time you seethed in hatred, did that make things better? The last time you burned with jealousy, did that get what you wanted? The last time you stewed in resentment, did that satisfy you? And yet, how often do we do these things, and then we keep doing them, or we suffer them, and they are done to us, causing sadness, causing division, causing fear, and causing so much hurt? And so it is for Jesus. He comes, and he doesn't just have the cool stuff happen to him, you know, the angels and shepherds and wise men, but he has this happen to him, our this. He goes through what we go through. He goes through what you go through. Whatever sin has stung you, Jesus has felt it too. And that's what we hear from Matthew today. God's people have to go to Egypt to save their life. Jesus does too. God's people are brought out of Egypt by him. Jesus is too. But they can't get home right away. Jesus can't either. They live in the midst of their enemies. Jesus does too. They live in the midst of sorrow and death. And Jesus does too. The first few years of his life, Jesus spent traveling and fleeing, living in strange and unusual places, in fear for life itself. So, Merry Christmas. Well, yes, this is what makes for Merry Christmas. That God came to be with us in all of this. That God came to protect us and to rescue us from all of this, from all the sin that plagues us from without, and from all the sin that plagues us from within. Now, God never promised you an easy life. He never promised that he would keep all trouble from you. He never promised to give you all that you want or to make you better off than everyone else. Maybe he has, but probably not. But what he has promised is what you hear today, that whatever happens to you, he will be with you through it all. This is Christmas. Emmanuel, God, who is with us. And God with us at just the right time. That's what St. Paul said, when the fullness of time had come, or at just the right time, God sent forth his Son. Now, you have to admit that hearing everything we heard in Matthew's gospel today, in the days of Herod, doesn't seem like just the right time. And Bethlehem sure doesn't seem like just the right place. If location is everything, then being born right in the backyard of a fearful, jealous king doesn't seem like the optimal place for this birth. And yet it was. All of it, according to God's plan. Because nothing can stop what God has ordained and planned. The beginning of Jesus' life isn't trouble or worry free, but he is protected and he is preserved. He is brought safely to Egypt, which tells us something when a few years later he is not protected and he is not preserved. When a few years later one of his own turns on him and he's arrested and he's beaten and he's treated as the worst kind of criminal, and then he's hung up to die a criminal's death on a cross. A Roman warning to the world, do not be like this man, or this is what will happen to you. The fact that he's protected when he's young, but allowed to be crucified when he's older, should tell us something. This, too, is God's will. This is also the plan. Everything happens, including his death, to fulfill God's word. Fulfillment is one of the themes of Matthew's gospel. So often, if you read through Matthew's gospel, you'll see that he writes these words. This was to fulfill. It's not an accident. It's not chance or fate. It's God for you. It's God saving you. Even if that saving doesn't happen exactly as you think it should. And it's the prophet Isaiah who helps us to think a little bit about that. He starts out today by telling us, let me tell you of the steadfast love of the Lord. And then he talks of Moses, and he speaks of the Exodus, and then of how the people rebelled and grieved God's Spirit. You know the story. But think about why they rebelled. Think about why they grieved God, and see if it's not similar to what we find in our own hearts and minds. Because think about the Exodus for a minute. Remember back to what God did there. God brings his people out of Egypt, which is wonderful. But in just a day or two, they find themselves trapped between the Red Sea on the one side and the Egyptian army on the other. And you can imagine what they were thinking. So, God, this is how you save us? This is really your plan? Then they travel to Mount Sinai, and Moses disappears for 40 days. So, God, is this how you save us? Is this what your plan was, really? And then they find themselves in the desert with no food and no water. So, God, is this how you save us? Is this what your plan was, really? And then they get to the border of the promised land, and they discover that their enemies are bigger and stronger than they are. So, God, is this how you save us? Is this what your plan was? Really? Do you see a pattern here? The people wondering about God and his plan, the people, in fact, complaining against God and his plan and his ways, the people rebelling against God and his plan, and yet God saving his people. It's not always easy to live like this, and it may not always make sense to us, and yet God in his love saves his people. God in his love rescues his people. God in his love disciplines and provides for his people. God in his love struggles for his people. Struggles to make for himself, Isaiah says, a glorious name. Not because God needs the glory, but so that the world would know his glory and that the world might know and see him as their Father, as a God of love, as a God dependable and reliable and saving. A God who doesn't walk away when the going gets tough, but loves all the way to the cross. And so also in your life, Does it feel like it's not the right time, or not the right place, or not making sense to you? Do you want to cry out and say, Lord, I really don't need this cross right now? Well, take a deep breath and hear again his goodness and his compassion. What God did for Israel and what God has done for you. Because God divided the Red Sea, and Moses did come down the mountain with the word of the Lord, and God provided food and water in the desert, and God defeated those enemies of the people in the promised land, and God came in our flesh as a baby, and in that flesh God hung on the cross, and there God died for you, and then God rose from the dead for you, and God gives you his spirit. And God baptized you and made you his child. And God forgives you. And God feeds you here with his body and his blood. And God gives you your body and life and all that you have. And God has given you your family and friends and a church. God is Emmanuel, God with us still. Not exactly what you had in mind, perhaps, but maybe that's a good thing. You think maybe we've tried our own way long enough, but this is God's way, a way that is love instead of anger, of confession instead of excuses, of forgiveness instead of revenge, of gladness instead of jealousy, of service instead of selfishness, of prayer instead of spite. Receiving all this from him who came to be with us in our sin, even to die for us. And then giving all this to those he sends us to now. For St. Paul said, because of Jesus, because of the one born and laid in the manger and crucified on the cross, because of him, you are no longer a slave to sin, but a son of God. And if a son, then an heir. And yes, this is God fulfilling his plan for you. In Jesus' name. Amen.